Utah Jazz taking on the Golden State Warriors. Formidable squad, those Warriors. Connor Letourneau's on the Warriors beat for the San Francisco Chronicle. He joins us on our IM Flash hotline. Connor, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing great. Glad to be talking with you. Compare this Golden State team at 66-14 at this juncture in the season to what you were watching from them at this juncture a year ago. Obviously, the regular season record was a little bit better as they were chasing down history there. But is this group better than what you saw last year?
Yes, I think they're a better team, and I also think they're in a much better spot entering the playoffs than they were a year ago. This time last year, they were really emotionally and physically spent from chasing that 73 wins record. You know, they went hard every night. That record went down to the final game of the regular season, and they went at full capacity just to get those wins. And this season, that has not been the case. From day one, they've been saying they're not chasing that wins record. Kerr rested core guys periodically throughout the season, obviously infamously in that San Antonio game last month. And right now, especially with Durant being out as long as he was, he's getting back in the groove of things. He was well rested from sitting out. And it feels like they're starting to hit fire on all cylinders right when it matters most. So I think they're peaking at the right time, which was not the case a year ago.
When you talk to the guy, I mean, I don't know when the last time the team was asked this question, because it's I guess, semi-moot point now, but do the guys that were there a year ago, do they feel like it was in any way worth it to chase that wins record? Because they go down as the best regular season in history. We know they didn't end up winning the championship, but are they glad that they fought to the end of the regular season last year still?
You know, they say they don't have any regrets, and, you know, they wouldn't do anything differently. But at the same time, I know that they're very aware of the fact that that they were burned out by playoff time. And, you know, you can't trace Curry's injury in the playoffs last year necessarily to them going as hard as they did in the regular season, but it certainly didn't help. And I do know that their decision to rest guys as much as they have this year and to not eye beating their own wins record was directly related to how they performed in the playoffs last year. So, then of course, they're not going to come out and say that they regret it, but their actions speak louder than their words in a lot of ways, and I think they've learned from that.
Connor, these two teams, the Utah Jazz and the Golden State Warriors, could well meet in the second round of the playoffs if they both succeed in round one. There are quite a few matchups across the board. Tonight's not a great night to showcase that, given the fact that, well, the Jazz, for one, have a lot of injuries. However, Defensive Player of the Year, when I was preparing to do this show, I came across an article on ESPN.com regarding the two-horse race that Defensive Player of the Year has become, Rudy Gobert versus Draymond Green. What do you expect to see from those two tonight, and could this have an impact on who essentially wins Defensive Player of the Year?
Definitely. That to me is the most compelling aspect of tonight, because, as you said, Utah has a bunch of guys out, and the Warriors have openly said that they don't care about whether or not they win these last two games of the regular season. So that, to me, is going to be really interesting. It looks like Draymond Green has the edge right now for Defensive Player of the Year, largely because he plays for the best team in the league, and he's had so many game-changing defensive highlights. He's saved five different games this season with stops in the last minute of games. So he's probably going to win the award, but if you look at the numbers, Rudy Gobert has a really strong case, and you couldn't blame anyone for voting for him. His advanced analytics are actually better in a lot of ways than Draymond's. His team is better defensively with him on the court. Than the difference of his team defensively on the court versus off is actually higher than Green when he's on the court for Golden State. So I wouldn't blame anyone for voting for him. I do think if he's going to make a surprise run and eclipse Draymond for that award, he's going to need to have a dominating defensive performance in that matchup tonight because, you know, the voting ballots have just been sent out in the last few days and people are really thinking about it right now.
Connor, I mentioned matchups and how hopefully come second week of the playoffs, if both teams can make it, they'll be a lot more enticing. When it comes to tonight, Kevin Durant obviously returning from injury. Do you reckon that that had something to do with Steph Curry playing tonight? You know, if Kevin was not coming back necessarily, would Steph be playing or would they be resting guys like we had hoped as Utah Jazz fans for the past couple of weeks now?
It's hard to say. I think that there definitely would have been a higher chance of them resting guys. The thing that matters most to Kerr over these last two games is he wants to iron out his rotation entering the playoffs because obviously they had to introduce some wrinkles with Durant out, and they played so well the last few weeks with Durant out that they want to keep some of those wrinkles with Durant in the fold now. So they couldn't really get a real sense of the rotation with Curry out the last game. So these last two games are going to be a chance for them to see, okay, what do we want our substitution patterns to be? What do we want the minutes to look like across the board entering this first-round matchup with Portland?
How dangerous is Portland to Golden State?
To be honest, I don't think they're much of a threat, especially because Portland's season turned around when they got Nurkic from Denver, and it's TBD at the moment whether Nurkic is going to be available in that first round. If he is, he probably won't be 100%, and he likely won't be able to come back for the first couple games at least. I think they're a much better team with Nurkic. Golden State, one of their Achilles heels this season, has been dealing with really physical big men in the low post, and that's what Nurkic is. So they're gonna have a tough time really testing Golden State unless he's available. If he is available and he plays like the dominant player he had for good 3 or 4 weeks before he got injured, I think they have a chance to push it to maybe a 5 or 6 game, maybe even 7 game series, but I'd be absolutely shocked if Portland could win a 7 game series against Golden State. They're just not as deep or as talented, and we saw that during the regular season. They lost all 4 games to Golden State, and 3 of those weren't close. So I don't expect it to be much of a test.
Who is the toughest test in the West for the Warriors? I mean, a lot of us have just penciled the Dubs all the way through into the NBA Finals again, but who in the West can cause them the most problems?
Definitely San Antonio. In my mind, San Antonio is the only team in the West that could realistically beat them in a 7-game series. They're the only team really in the past few years in the Western Conference that's given them consistent trouble because of the system that Popovich runs, and Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge always present problems. If you're looking at teams beyond San Antonio, I actually think that Memphis presents a lot of matchup problems, just their grinded out style, the way they slow down the tempo, you know, force things inside. They're the only team other than San Antonio within the past 2.5 years that have beaten Golden State twice in a regular season. They beat them twice earlier this year. So to me, they would actually be a really interesting matchup if they faced them in the second round.
A lot of media publicity surrounded this MVP race. Connor, excuse me for not knowing. I don't know if you have a vote or not, but let's just say you do. Who are you giving it to and why?
I do have a vote, and I'm leaning toward Russell Westbrook. I, for months, had been in the James Harden camp, but what he's been able to do and the consistency with which he's been able to do it is just unbelievable. He's had the most impressive individual season really in the modern era of basketball, and it's impossible to not give it to a guy who's been that dominant. And also, you know, everyone wants to talk about the wins, but Oklahoma City is 6th in the West. Imagine Oklahoma City without Russell Westbrook. They wouldn't even be a relevant team. So if you want to make that wins argument, I mean, I think that actually works in his favor a little bit as well. Houston obviously wouldn't be the third best team in the West without Harden, but they'd probably be a playoff team. They have talent outside of Harden, and Oklahoma City really doesn't have much going on other than Westbrook.
Do you think he's actually going to win it, or do you think that you're maybe in the minority of people who are going to give him that vote?
I think it's going to be really close. I've heard some people say that it could be the first year with co-MVPs. I think it's going to be really close. I know a month, if you had asked people a month ago, Harden had a clear edge, but I really do think that Westbrook's come on strong in the past 3 or 4 weeks, and it is kind of emerging as a 1A / 1B option.
Where's Steph in your MVP race?
He's not really among the contenders for me, partly because you can't make the argument necessarily that he's for sure been their best player this season. When Durant was healthy, I think Durant was the most consistent player. Durant had a place earlier in the season in that MVP discussion, but it's just hard to get it when you're splitting votes with your own teammate. So I don't have them in my top five, either of them.
All right, I got two things for you, Connor, before we let you go here. I need a score prediction for tonight's game from you, and then the second thing I need to know, and sorry to dive into your personal life here, but what type of chocolate you are, dark, milk, or white?
Okay. Tonight I'm going to go, just because Utah is so depleted, I'm going to say that the Warriors win convincingly, 105 to 90. I'll say that, 105 to 90, because I know even with those guys out, Utah's still pretty good defensively. So I'll say 105 to 90. As far as chocolate, got to go milk chocolate. I love milk chocolate.
Solid answer.
Yeah, pretty stock standard. I'm not going to go with what I like. It's embarrassing.
I know what you like,
okay.
Tom. Just to, you can admit
what
it to the world.
What do you like?
White chocolate.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nah, for a man, I feel like there is something.
Wait, stop it. What, your chocolate preference has nothing to do with your gender.
Bit of dignity lost when it comes to what type of chocolate you like, you know? Anyway, Connor, thanks for joining us.
Thanks,
again.
Connor.
All right, thanks, guys.
Connor Letourneau of the San Francisco Chronicle, @con_cron.